Hello and welcome to our second message on the subject of salvation, what salvation is and what it is not. Stay tuned. In our previous broadcast, we looked at the subject of salvation and said very plainly from the Word of God that if there is no repentance, there is no salvation. How a person is saved is, first of all, he hears the Word of God. Second, he is convicted of the Holy Spirit. Third, he repents or rejects the Word of God. And number four, if he repents, there will be a definite change in his life. Today, we want to talk about our new common salvation, which also is no salvation whatsoever. I'm reading in the book of Jude, verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and even denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is talking about a new common salvation. It will be a great day for the cause of Christ when we put our commentaries away for a little while and compare Scripture with Scripture rather than comparing Scripture with commentaries. Every commentary I have checked concerning this verse says that Jude changed his mind about what he was going to write about. That is simply not scriptural. Now, I'm not suggesting you throw your commentaries away. They can be very helpful. I want to say again, it will be a great day for the cause of our Lord when we put our commentaries away until we compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, you can compare Scripture with commentaries and do that in 40 minutes or less, but if you're going to compare Scripture with Scripture, we're going to have to take 40 hours or more, and most of the time, we're just too lazy to do that, so I'll go and get the opinion of what this, that, or the other fella had to say. No, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Paul commended the Christians at Berea because they went home after they heard him preach and searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Now, there's two types of salvation in the Bible. The Bible refers to a great salvation, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. And it also refers here to a common salvation, Jude chapter 1, verse number 3. In Jude's day, the apostasy had turned God's great salvation into a common or a defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation. And because of this, Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 3. They were turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They were denying the Lord. And the conclusion is obvious. Pastors had promoted a common salvation, allowing people to simply pray a prayer and join the local church. There's two types of apostasy promoters in the Bible, and it is obvious that the promoters of apostasy that Jude was talking about were unsaved. However, Peter warned us about Christians who promote apostasy. The phrase among you is found three times in 1 and 2 Peter, all of which refers to Christians. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders, or pastors, which are among you. 1 Peter 5:2, the flock of God which is among you. 2 Peter 2:1, there shall be false teachers among you. We know that Peter refers to Christian false teachers because he said they were denying the Lord that bought them. 2 Peter 2:1. The Greek word bought is translated redeemed 3 times in the New Testament. To deny the Lord is to refuse him access, like they did in Revelation 3:20. Christian leaders today, under the banner of fundamentalism, are the ones who are bringing in this damnable heresy that Peter referred to in 2 Peter 2:1. In recent days, fundamentalism has become flooded with Christian leaders who are promoting apostasy by promoting their new common salvation. Jesus plainly warned us in Luke 13:3, and then again in 5, he said, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We now have many in our ranks of fundamentalists who are promoting this damnable heresy that repentance is not necessary for salvation. A damnable heresy is a heresy that will damn a person to hell for eternity. Apostasy prevails when salvation is made common. Over 100 years ago, Gypsy Smith warned about our new present-day common salvation in his message, "Repent Ye." He said, "I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom or the church, we have lowered the standard. I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into what we call the church, we have been more anxious about heads than hearts. In order to capture, we have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom." End of his quote. Some years ago, I had a well-known soul-winning evangelist come to our church, and many of you, if I named him, you would know who I was talking about. We went out to talk to people about trusting Christ as their Savior. We knocked on a door in the area, and when the man opened the door, he began to rhyme off his presentation like he was like a salesman, and he had done it many times before. He went through the plan of salvation and said, "Do you know any reason why you couldn't get saved right now?" The man answered, "I've done this twice before." The soul-winning evangelist, probably not even hearing what the man said, "Well, good then, let's pray." The man prayed, we headed back to the church, and the man we talked to headed on the path to hell. That is what Jude calls a common salvation. That is what Peter calls a damnable heresy. Our new common salvation is an incentive salvation. Just like the business world, we offer an incentive to people to say yes to our sales pitch. We offer the incentive of heaven to all who will pray a prayer. We ask, "Would you like to know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die?" Well, who wouldn't? Jesus never offered heaven as an incentive for people to get saved, and neither did any of his followers. Heaven is a tremendous byproduct of salvation. However, salvation deals with our repenting of our sin against God. Man needs to understand that we need to fall on our faces and repent before God, even if there were no such place as heaven. Now there is, and it's a tremendous byproduct of getting saved. But getting saved is not for us to go to heaven. Getting saved is that we might glorify God in repenting. "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." A.W. Tozer warned about our present-day common salvation. Few people listened. He said, "The crowds at any price mania has taken a firm grip on Christianity and is the motivating power back of a shocking high percentage of all religious activity." He continued, "In our eagerness to make converts, I am afraid we have lately been guilty of using the techniques of modern salesmanship." Unquote. A.W. Tozer was right. There's no common salvation preached in the Word of God. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus preached, "Thou hypocrite," verse 5 of Matthew 7. He preached Mark 7 and 6, you hypocrites. In John 8 and 44, he said, you're of your father, the devil. In Matthew 23:27, he said, woe unto you, hypocrites. Did he not realize that that kind of preaching would drive people away and get them upset with him? Yes, he did. He just preached the truth. They were hypocrites. He told them they were hypocrites. If they were of their father, the devil, he told them, you're of your father, the devil. When James preached in James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, James was preaching to Christians. Did he not realize that that kind of preaching might just mess up the offering? Yeah, he did. He just preached the truth. When Paul preached, we read in Romans 2 and 3, and thinkest thou that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Did Paul not know anything about winning friends and influencing people? He wasn't there to influence people. He wasn't there to win friends. He was there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit do the influencing. How did Paul preach to Christians? Paul focuses on the truth, not on pampering Christians. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Did not Paul realize that he would lose some members if he preached like that? He didn't care about losing members or gaining members. He was there to preach the truth. When women were dressing immodestly, he said in 1 Timothy 2:9 that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Did he not realize that most church problems are stirred up by women? Did he not know that you can't build a church by getting women upset? Yeah, he knew that. He was there to preach the truth. When dealing with immature Christians at Ephesus, he told them to grow up, Ephesians 4:15. Grow up? You mean Paul preached straightforward, telling church members to grow up? Yes, he did. He spoke to the Colossian Christians concerning fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, Colossians 3, verse 5. Over a dozen times, Paul warned Christians about their lusts. Paul rebuked the Christians at Corinth because of their attitude toward fornicators, idolaters, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind. Referring to the church congregation, Paul said that they were becoming lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 through 5. That's how Paul preached. He wasn't worrying about who was coming and who was leaving. He just was there to preach the whole counsel of God, and that is exactly what he did. To the Galatians, Paul said, are ye so foolish? Galatians 3:3. The difference concerning Paul and most so-called fundamental pastors of today is Paul obviously was more concerned about preaching the truth than getting a crowd together and keeping the crowd and getting a new auditorium. Paul could honestly say, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. Acts 20 and verse 20. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20, 27. One reason apostasy has come in to our churches like a flood is because pastors are more focused on building buildings than they are on preaching the word of God. Now, how Christian leaders become apostate? Number one, if you check the Bible, you'll see this to be a fact. They receive the truth, they reject the truth, they ridicule the truth, and then they replace the truth. Many so-called fundamental leaders today have followed that path in recent days. And so Jude said, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.